All right, you listen to the Bill Buds Popcast. Hit it, Arnie.
The doctor was the mother. He stood on a block of
that's
light.
Not.
No.
Not it.
That's
what?
That's the wildly popular Hey Arnold theme song that you also.
Oh,
did.
I'm no. sorry. It's I the, just have the folder of themes pulled up. Hold
it's
on.
The Bill Buds Popcast.
This one.
Is that it?
No, that's again. That's Improv is Dead. That's my former roommate Tim Lyons and his best friend Dan White's podcast.
This one says Liz Anderson. She's on your show, right?
No, and she never will be.
No, she's okay. on a different show that I'm not on.
All right, how about this?
12th day of Christmas, my true love gave
to me. Oh, sorry, that's a Christmas. That's a puppet Christmas show I did. That's not.
No.
That's not right. I'm sorry. I have it here
that?
Somewhere.
Eternia, Etheria, Gallifrey, or Hyperion.
Nope, that's not good. Okay, hold on. You guys are Hundy Dolly? All right, thank you everybody.
No, they said GPC in that, I think, but no, that is not this show. Arnie, you do too many podcast themes. The Bill Buds Popcast. That's the one we want.
Oh.
Won.
Tonight we're hanging with the boys. Yeah, we're going out. We're getting stupid. We gonna make a lot of noise, turn the music loud. Hands up for them real ones, them good girls and them Bill Buds.
Here we go.
Bonus ep.
Oh,
hey,
shoot.
We are coming at you. This is the Bill Buds Podcast. We're coming at you whenever this drops, but it's probably not in our normal time because it is a bonus ep. I'm JPC. With me, as always, JJO, Johnny O'Mara. Johnny.
This is she.
How is it going?
It's great. We're recording this just days before Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
Where I'm going to be gathering with 40 or 50 of my closest relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really looking forward to it.
As God intended.
Yeah.
Can't keep a good man down. Well, speaking of good men, we are joined, as always, by...
As
the,
always?
Yeah, I mean, we do a bit. We do a bit where we thank you every time that the episode starts because you're here. And yeah,
okay.
Canonically. Yeah, well, you've heard his voice, so we've spoiled it as well. You also heard it moments ago when we did that little intro bit that was very funny.
Yeah.
The incorrigible, the inevitable, the musical scamp, a man of a million podcasts. You know his voice if you've listened to a very select subsection of Chicago comedy podcasts. He is Arnie Parrott, the horny parrot himself.
Yo, what up? Hello.
Arnie,
so great to be on Bill Buds.
Yeah, welcome.
A show I loved to write music for.
Mm-hmm.
What a satisfying thing.
Can I ask you, as a musician,
yes.
How thankful were you when they invented podcasts?
Well, so this is a slow realization that this could be a career, and it's not just happening for me, it's happening all over the place. Like, I feel like the first guy who, like, when vaudeville was happening, a first guy who was like, well, I've got an organ, and everyone was like, well, okay, I guess we'll have an organ, and then they had, and now this guy had all the vaudeville jobs for, like, years, because he sort of was in the right place at the right time. So I'm slowly becoming more and more thankful for podcasts. What at first was merely a hobby and a sort of curiosity has stemmed into a full-blown career thanks to a global pandemic and a lack of other people doing this job.
I mean, you know, when the time is right, the time is right.
Yeah.
And Arnie, I would be lying if I said that you were not both figuratively and literally instrumental to this show, because people really loved that jam of a theme song that you wrote.
It was so fun to write because I've been wanting to write dumb pop for my entire life. Like, if I had a dream job, it is to write pop music. Like, I think that is the best gig in the world. No one knows who you are, but you have your phone is full of every pop star. You make so much money and you have to write literally nothing. The lyrics for your show, took me 35 seconds to write, you know? And like musically, I just dragged some drums in and just like made sure it all sounded good and then like released it. And I swear, it took me no time. Easiest thing in the world. I phoned it in, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I know that our fans absolutely love that song. And we've had many, many requests, multiple requests for a full version. So I'm happy to announce once that Patreon generates a little more money, we are definitely going to commission Artie for a full version of that song. Because I don't even know if we'll use it on the show. I just want it to exist, you know,
like a 2.5 minute like summer jam.
Imagine if the theme to our podcast was the song of the summer for 2021.
Everyone's the theme of our podcast was 2.5 minutes.
I'm just trying to think about what it would be like if the theme is there, like an existence in history where like the theme for a show became more popular than the show. Like I think about like DuckTales, the DuckTales theme as being like, you know, such an, like, I don't know, I can't name anything that happened in an episode of DuckTales, but
that's
I can
true.
Sing that theme, right?
Like, what about James Bond?
Oh, for sure. The Bond sound is there as well, yeah.
That's, I get that, but it's also like, it's kind of, I'm trying to think of like something that would removed itself from the source material and just existed as the theme song.
As the theme, the, yeah, that's a,
the
like,
Pink
the
Panther.
Theme. Pink Panther?
Yeah, Pink Panther. There's also like the ones that like are actual songs, and I think that this is the case, I could be wrong, that just get turned into theme songs, like the Cheers theme.
I think that was written, was that not written for the show? I don't know.
I thought it was. Well, what about the Friends theme? That like song
I'll
by the...
I'll be there for you.
That's a real song, I
believe. Rembrandts or Remembrance,
yeah,
or whatever.
That
was real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, this is maybe the topic of a Bill Buds episode, of a bonus episode where you guys do like TV theme reviews.
The MASH theme, that's the one I was thinking of. I think the MASH
Suicide
theme
is Painless.
Yeah, that was a real song. You know, Arnie's pitching us suggestions for our Patreon for sure. So you got to go over there, patreon.com/BillBudsPod. And really get some of the good dirt in there.
The good episodes, not the poor people episodes, not the ones that are gated behind. Yeah,
it's a paywall. It's more of like a pay speed bump, because it's pay what you will. It's the minimum amount that you could pay. So it's really not a paywall. It's like it's like Donald Trump's paywall. It's broken in several thousand feet. You know, it's not actually useful to anyone.
We lose money on that. From Patreon's fees.
You guys know you don't have to mention Trump anymore. Like, he lost. Like, you guys, the contract is over.
It's still his
like,
ball,
I know
baby.
He paid you guys for the publicity, and he wanted, you know, you guys are huge fans, I know, so, like, saying his name on every episode is something you want to do.
Yeah,
but your guy
true.
Lost. Your guy lost, and now you don't actually have to pimp him anymore.
Well, I mean, his horrible bungling of the coronavirus pandemic is really the only reason that Johnny and I started this podcast to begin with, so we
So
do
you should
have...
actually thank him at the start of every episode.
Unfortunately.
Thank him personally. Yeah.
Well, we do it because we play your song, so that is our thanks to the outgoing president. No, he's a horrible
Lame
man.
Duck.
And speaking of horrible men, Arnie, we're so excited to have you on the podcast today because you have done something that the rest of us have only dreamed of doing, which is something productive in this. I was literally going through my brain and was like, what have I done that's like actually been like productive? I cleaned behind my stove. I think is like the most productive thing that I've done this lockdown. But you, my friend, wrote a fucking album.
Yeah, I guess I did. To be fair, I wrote some of it before the quarantine.
That's true.
Like all the finalizing work happened here. But a good chunk of it was pre-quarantine. But if you were quarantined too, it's for sure. I was thinking about this too, the fact that I was actually, and this is me just being like the most Midwest polite person in the world, but I was suddenly worried about the fact that if I release an album, did I make people feel bad who haven't done anything? And I like started to get nervous. I'm like, I sure hope people are like not being like, ugh, damn him for doing stuff. And it's like, oh no, I didn't do that much. I did very little. Like don't think I'm not lazy and doing bad.
Oh.
Like, I'm doing terribly.
Arnie, Taylor Swift put out an album like 4 weeks into quarantine, mm-hmm. and she was like, sorry. And so, you know, you don't have to worry about making people feel bad because someone younger than all of us has already done that mm-hmm. in a very terrible way.
And when is your Disney Plus movie coming out?
You know, we just keep getting stoned. They don't like the content.
I was thinking about this too when I was thinking
too horny.
Yeah, it's too horny.
I was thinking about Arnie's album coming out in quarantine, and also, and if you're listening to this podcast, Arnie Parrott, who does all of the music, who writes original music for the podcast Skyjacks, which is the campaign podcast, a podcast I was on for a time that Johnny is still on. This, during lockdown, had a Kickstarter that went fucking gangbusters. It raised a ton of money for this album that he wrote of music for Skyjacks. And why you are hearing this Bill Buds episode is because we, as a stretch goal, agreed to do a special Bill Buds episode with Arnie talking about and reviewing his album on that Kickstarter. So that is the context for what you're doing here. But I was thinking about Taylor Swift and the album that she put out. And I was thinking about what genre would you say the album that you put out is, Arnie?
Yeah, so that's I've been having to answer this question because I don't really see too many people except when I like go out to pick up food, and mm-hmm. I can't help but like tell them things about my life because that's I like talking to strangers. It's just a thing that I like to do. And so people are like, oh, you do music, what kind of music? And I have to sit there and be like, well, it's about sky sailing. And so what I've started describing it as is like epic folk, you know, like, because that's really kind of what it is it's not folk music. It's rooted in folk tradition for sure. But like if you say folk, I mean, I inherently think like, you know, Woody Guthrie or like sort of Americana stuff. I don't think about like strings and horns and like we're swinging through the sky, you know, so I call it like epic folk or like, you know, travel folk or like, you know, I don't know.
Let me throw this at you. So yeah, what I think is it's folk, but it's also like this world building. So it's also lore. So I think the genre of music should be folklore. And I think that if you put out an album with the genre of music as folklore, I can safely say that is the most successful album, folklore-based album that has come out during quarantine. And I can say that for sure.
Yeah, you can see if I called it folklore, it would be probably the only of its kind.
Uh-huh. I think other people may have tried to do it during quarantine. I think they failed. And I think that your folklore reigns supreme.
That's true. That's true. And I could do it so swiftly. Maybe I should put that somewhere on the title as well. Like right on the front of the album.
Arnie Parrott's Swift Folklore.
Yeah.
The music is sort of tailored to
the genre. Yeah. So I would say tailored Swift Folklore.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's what I put right on the cover.
I think
maybe a black and white picture of a tree.
Sky tree. Please, sky
tree. Yeah, sky tree. Sky tree.
Well, you could have multiple covers. You could have eight different covers.
Get my friend, Boney Bear to do a track with me. I don't know.
If you don't listen to the Campaign Skyjacks podcast, it's a very fun podcast. If you're into actual plays, I really, really do recommend it. As someone,
it was fun enough that JPC quit.
Yeah, it was. Hey, I like to say it's the best job I ever quit. But I'm still a fan of the show, and I'm a weekly listener of the show, and I do advise that you listen to it. It's not necessary to enjoy this album that Arnie put out. But Arnie, if people want to hear your album, and I do encourage people to listen to it, where can they go to listen to this thing?
It's going out, so by the time this episode comes out, it will be released on Bandcamp. If you search for Skyjacks or the One Shot RPG, which is the One Shot Network, which is what the show is on, you will find it there. It's also being released on itch.io, I think, and so there will be codes. It's going to be downloadable no matter where it is. But those are the two places where you can listen to it. If you follow me on Twitter or find my YouTube channel, you can see I've done an acoustic cover of one of the tunes. I mean, you can find some of the content available, but really the easiest way to listen to the music is to listen to the show, because that's kind of where it came from. So you can buy it, or if you want it for free, listen to the show.
Oh, that is why it sounded so familiar, because it's from the show.
That I was thinking about when I was listening to this album is like what it would be like to listen to this album if you were not familiar with the show. Mm-hmm. Because for me, as a performer and a listener, all of these songs are like really tied up in a lot of the story and like the emotions involved. But they're also just good songs on their own. And I would love to like hear what someone thinks about the album who has no idea what the podcast is about at all.
Well, I'm, I mean, I, I've sent this, so when I write this music, I almost always, I have a group of a few people I send all these tracks to before I release almost anything. There's like three or four folks whose opinions matter to me, who give me good feedback, and who I send almost everything to, and none of them have listened to any of Campaign.
Oh, okay.
And so they all almost universally liked everything a lot and found it very evocative. You know, the whole point, I mean, I wanted to write from a sense of universality because, you know, songs about something incredibly specific are not, they're not good, but like that's not folk, right? Like folk tradition is about being inclusive and open to everybody. And just because I'm writing about or in a certain setting, I tried to make sure that there were allusions and references to the setting that the people who listened would appreciate, but that the core concepts, you know, the songs aren't about I'm going to go be a skyjack. The songs are about loss, or the songs are about sacrifice, you know, or they're about jubilation. You know, they're about something you can latch onto that is not, it doesn't require any knowledge of the show.
Arnie, I wanted to ask you, so in this album, and maybe I'm making an assumption here and I hope that it is correct, but in this album, you are writing and performing some of these songs, and some of these songs are definitely like the voice or the POV is definitely the voice of like a character who is writing and singing the songs. What's it like to, you know, be you, Arnie, and you're writing folk music and then taking on these characters and writing the songs to them? What's your process like when you're doing that? That's always kind of fascinated me.
Yeah, so that's a really cool question. The inception of the tunes, so I even go one level farther in the sense that I try to figure out who writes the song, right? Like it's because Arnie Parrott doesn't exist in the Skyjacks world, and one of the things about the Skyjacks, the way I wanted the soundtrack to be is that all the songs exist in the world, right? These are things that people have sung and people have played,
sure.
So they aren't necessarily all written by the same person. So like I try to come at it from a perspective of the person singing the song didn't write it, but has adapted it to their own voice, right?
Ah,
so like the tradition of folk music is like verses and things get changed. You know, if you're not from somewhere, you don't sing about that place. If you're not that gender, you don't sing as that gender. You know, you tailor it to your own performance. Taylor Swift it to your own performance. And so
Brian.
Like yep. Red 2000, you know, 1988. The fact of the matter is, like, I just sort of went, like, really specific into who, not really specific, but, like, who are these people, and how do they feel about this stuff, and then I just sort of wrote the song sort of with that character in mind and sang it with that, and we can talk about, when you go into the specific tracks, I'll happily talk about, like, that character and what it is, but I think I tried to make it pretty clear from just the recording that who the character was and what their relationship was to the song,
so,
you know, I think.
I think that that's also so interesting because you, at the beginning of that too, you mentioned that Arnie Parrott does not exist in the Skyjacks universe. But in one of the songs, Casey Tony definitely does.
Casey Tony does exist
in the Skyjacks universe. So it's weird that you would put editor of the Skyjacks podcast into it,
but not
yourself.
We could talk about that when we get to that tune, but here's what happened. Behind the scenes, Casey and I were messaging very late at night, and I had to get him this track. He edits the show, and he and I work very close together, closer than James and I do. Like he and I are in contact all the time about how the music's going to be used. And we were talking, and he and I, like, when it gets to like 3 in the morning, we're both stir crazy, we're editing, we're writing. We definitely get a little bit like we rib each other a little bit, and he said something, and I was like, I'm going to kill you in this song that I'm writing. And then I wrote this song and made Casey Tony a character and killed him off immediately in one verse, and then decided I enjoyed it so much and had such fun, and he had a great time with it too, that every album, Casey Tony is going to die, sort of the Kenny of this universe.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that.
Casey is going to bite the dust every single time.
I'm very excited to hear the full version of the Bill Buds theme where Casey Tony dies.
Yeah, he's actually going to die
in the club.
Yeah.
I'm sort of a Brandon Sanderson type guy where I like to combine all of my works together. So the Bill Buds theme is actually also canonical in Skyjacks. So there's all this music sort of flows together.
If I may.
Yes.
Jessica and I watched the Princess Switch 2 over the weekend.
Jesus Christ.
Excellent. Yeah.
And in it, At the end, spoilers for the Princess Switch 2, if anyone...
You say this as if I am not incredibly familiar with this movie, but...
But at the end, there's a cameo from the characters from A Christmas Prince, another Netflix Christmas movie.
Wait, what? Okay, now I've seen A Christmas Prince.
Yes. Okay. So, but the interesting thing that this sort of reminded me of is there's, in the first Princess Switch, Vanessa Hudgens... I forget her character's name. I think it's Stacy.
She's my birthday twin, by the way. We were born on the exact same day. Exact same year.
Happy birthday.
Wow. She is watching The Christmas Prince on her TV.
Wait.
So in the Princess Switch universe, A Christmas Prince is a documentary.
And that, you know, that's interesting. I always think that that's like the weirdest part about Friends is the fact that the TV show Friends hasn't influenced their pop culture, right? That's what makes that world so foreign to us. that's why we don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's why a bunch of poor 20-somethings can afford an apartment in the middle of...
Yeah, poor 20 guys, am I right?
Poor 20. Poor 20. Now, I didn't know that Christmas and Prince... type movies were so popular, Johnny, but I was like, I know I watched one of these fucking things, and I just Googled it. It's not A Christmas Prince. It's not The Princess
Switch. You watched The Night Before Christmas.
It's not A Christmas Prince, The Royal Wedding. It's not A Prince for Christmas, and it's not the other A Prince for Christmas. I watched a different Christmas Prince movie that was so fucking bad, and it was on Netflix, and I don't know what it was called, and Mariah would probably know, but it's something like a Princemas Chris or something like that. There's so fucking many of these movies.
They're already like knockoffs. They're already like discount versions. This is like someone releasing a knockoff version of a knockoff cereal.
Dude, the Netflix holiday movies is an insane amount of movies. Okay, the one that I watched is called Christmas with a Prince. And it's really fucking bad. It's really fucking bad.
I gotta say, Princess Switch and Princess Switch 2 switched again. Excellent films.
Okay. Well, you know, at one point we'll have to do a podcast where we just watch all the Netflix Christmas movies and review them. But that, Johnny, is not this podcast. This is the Bill Buds podcast. We've taken a sacred oath, and we're two sacred oaths, and we must do our duty. And today our duty is to talk about this fucking album and celebrate our friend. And then at the end, since we can't put this on a Bill Buds Top 100, Johnny and I have agreed to use our Patreon ranking. So you get a little sneak peek behind the pay what you hump. And we're going to use our Patreon rating system, which at the end of this, we will tell Artie to his face, it could be brutal, if this album is a bop or a flop. It's a binary choice. It's either a bop or a flop, Arnie, and that's
And I'll tell
goes.
You what, okay. with the number of skips that I have in my notes, it's not looking good.
Not looking good. Okay. Johnny famously does not skip.
Yeah.
I'm excited because I think the thing that may shock both of you is that I'm probably a harsher critic of my own work than you are. So just letting you know, if you guys open up on my tracks, I'm going to do you one better and really rip myself apart because I could tell you exactly the intentions of the artist and how lazy they really were when they wrote that melody.
Wow. I did not think that it was going to be possible for someone to be a harsher critic than me on these tracks, but challenge accepted. So we will we'll take that into account.
You sent me did say Bill Buds roast.
Yeah, it's a roast cast.
Why did it say that?
Oh man, fuck you. We help you raise money. Here we go. Let's talk about this. This is track one. This is Skyjacks.
We must sing with our crew. Hear the Star Watcher call as we swing between skyships with miles to fall. We care not for the danger nor fear for our death, for we know that we're sworn to be skyjacks far past our last breath.
Johnny, you're absolutely right, because to me this melody is like iconic. Cool. All right. That's it. That's track one.
Okay.
Johnny, skip. What do you think?
Skip. All right.
That's a skip for me. It sucks. It's bad. We skip that every time. You know,
honestly, hearing this song and lyrics, because the only time I've heard it is in the podcast, and I hear the only lyrics I hear is Skyjacks.
Skyjacks.
This was like, it was surreal hearing the lyrics. And it was like when I found out that the I Love Lucy theme song has lyrics. You know, it's like that sort of thing where it's like, what is happening? And they're great.
Interesting.
Yeah, because Casey, I know, especially when he edits the show, puts a lot of like underscoring as the instrumental tracks and not really the lyric tracks. Now, but did you have, you had lyrics for this song prior to this, right?
Or yeah, so here's how this is one of the first ones I wrote. I wrote this, Call of the Sky, and Cutting Stone first. Those are the first three tracks I wrote at the very origin of all this stuff. And this one, I wrote out the arc of what I wanted to have happen, and I wrote the first two verses and a chorus, and then I just sent that off and went, I don't know how to make this song work. It's all about these teenagers. They're going to go off, they're going to die, and the main character is going to survive. I don't know how to write this. It's hard. It's weird. I'm just going to use this for now, and I'll finish it later. And I did finish it later. I finished it 2 years and two or so months later, about 2.5 weeks ago, right before the album came out. So I sat there and I knew, like, I had the arc and I had the names and I had the general idea, but I just like needed the impulse to sit down. Cause sometimes, I mean, this was a hard song to write. Like from a storytelling perspective, I knew what I wanted to do, but I knew it was kind of hard, and I knew it was going to be really sad. And that also, like, I wanted it to be kind of brutal and sad. And I, being comfortable with that was took me a while, you know?
I was not expecting it to be so sad, especially because, like, when you hear it as an instrumental, it's just like this big, like, kind of swashbuckling, like, adventure song. And then listening to lyrics, it was like, oh.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Arnie, I have to ask, and I know that people that listen to this show are going to definitely have the same question as I have. Are you familiar with the Magic the Gathering arc of Gerard Caption and the flying ship, the Weatherlight?
Yes, I am familiar with the Weatherlight.
Okay, so
Squee,
you know, yeah. Krovax. So when I...
Cool, if you guys don't mind, I'm going to go make some dinner real quick.
Hey, Johnny, take a fucking while, okay? Because this is going to be a minute. But so... I was a big Magic the Gathering guy in grade school and high school, and I read all the Magic the Gathering lore books back then as well. And I loved this series because I loved the idea of the Weatherlight, which is a skyship. And it couldn't be more different than Skyjacks, besides the fact that they have like these skyships. They run differently. They're just completely different. But the line, I heard Sims Rock command Eris take my hand, but she drops into the night, reminded me. It had like super strong vibes of Miri falling off the Weatherlight. And I don't even know where the fuck they were, because Miri is the cat warrior. People who know this shit will, trust me, they will be loving this.
finally, Weatherlight references.
I haven't thought about that in so long, but somehow that like part of that was like reminiscent to that for me. And it had like, I had like an equal memory of Miri the cat warrior falling through the sky as I did of you know, Eris dropping into the night. I mean really cool, like very evocative. I think that this whole song is very evocative, and it's like sad too, like you did a great job of like telling like three different stories of woe. I guess ultimately four different stories of just woe, because, you know, being a survivor is its own kind of woe.
Well, so this is something that I had this discussion with James about it, and if the audience wants to listen to, we actually recorded it because we talked about the album too, and it'll be on the album. You'll be here list talking about it, about how my version of this song, the ending of it. So the last lines I wrote are that he says, they ask me what I wish for, and I truly do not know. Right. So that's the last things the main character says. And I'll leave it to the audience as to whether that's a happy thing or a sad thing, because I think like the logical thing to do is to wish for your fucking friends back, right? Like that would be the thing that he would wish for, but he doesn't. And that's kind of like, to me, the interesting part as to whether like, where does his story go? And is he happy or sad about it? Like, I think at the moment, yeah, there's depression for sure. But like, did he make the right choice for his life? I think he thinks yes. That's kind of, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they were all pot committed. They all were like, we're going to be skyjacks. We're going to do this. And
no matter what, till our last breath. Yeah.
Till the last breath. They know that the last breath is part of it, right? Like there is the chance that you will die here.
Well, that's the thing, right? So the lyric is far past our last breath. And then he sings in the last verse about how he still hears their voices and sees their, you know, like the skyjack, just because they died before they became skyjacks doesn't mean he doesn't still see them as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, skyjacks in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of references in this song to specific places.
Yes.
Did you just say, "Hey, I'm going to make up a bunch of places," or did you and James like talk about?
No, I told James from the start that I wasn't really going to be checking in on stuff, and I'm just going to create, and you just kind of have to live with it. And he was cool. Like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." So I just made up a bunch of stuff, and like I figured the world is vast and wide, and like, you know, it doesn't matter. And I just like, you know, it gives it a sense of place, even though they aren't real places. I like the fact that you call it the Hollow Hills or the, you know, the Widow's Sound. Like it's evocative, and it's just very like, oh, this is a time and place. Instead of saying I passed the hills or I passed the lake, you know, I think it's much more, the specificity makes it sound like a folk song, even though you've never heard of it.
It passed the Hines, baby.
Yeah.
Artie, I have to ask. So you just made up a bunch of names. Were there any names that you used or any names that you didn't use that you were like, oh, this name? And then you realized like, this name fucking sucks. Like, I'm not going to go with this name.
So I actually don't. I spent a long time trying not to say Kent. I left it in. I couldn't find another way to rhyme because I couldn't find another way to make those lines work. And I just hate the fact that I said Kent because it's so British and it's so specific to like England and Ireland.
Yep.
And like it's so clearly not skyjacksy. And honestly, that's what makes me skip this song. Total lazy songwriting. Couldn't rewrite those two freaking lines to save my life. I tried so many times to be like, you can't say Kent. Failed. Left it in. Regret it.
I have a buddy who runs the D&D game that I play in weekly, and he commissioned a bunch of maps to be made of the world that we play in. And the world that we play is enormous. So he commissioned this map and the full version of it. And the guy who we commissioned for him did an amazing job. It's a really cool map. But he was like, look, man, like you gave me all these places that to put on the map, but they don't have names. I need like 1,000 names. And he just he sat on that for like years because it was so hard to just think of 1,000 names for like D&D type shit, too. And it's so funny because when he got the finished map, there's a couple of like towns and stuff like towns we'll never go to that are just on this map because it's a real map and it has to be. But the names of the towns are some of them are cool, like Thunderstone and stuff like that. And then some of them are like Patrick. And we're like, we're never going to Patrick, are we? There's no map of Patrick. So it's always funny when you like are making up these fake names or these fantasy names where, you know, obviously there's going to be some that you're just like, oh, I just had to put something on the paper. I sometimes look things up.
I'll sometimes look like if I write like the Hollow Hills, I'm like, did I come up with this? Or, you know, I didn't. And I'm sure I didn't. You know, I looked up some of these things and there were times when it was like, oh, this is a town in like Oklahoma, like this place. So if someone listens from Oklahoma, this verse is going to have a very different interpretation because it makes it sound like, hey, we're cornfields and Rust Belt.
There's a place in Ireland called Greystones, which is I've been there and it's a lovely place.
I see. I didn't know that, but it sounds very Irish. It sounds so like Celtic and very like Druidic, right?
I also thought it was weird that you mentioned the McDonald's on Clark and Pratt.
Yeah, well, so I have a sponsorship thing.
He's sitting there. He's sobered up. He's
yeah. It's 2 a.m. and his girlfriend's mad.
And hash browns are all day. Hey,
read a shanty about anything.
We love that. So, ultimate impressions, Johnny, this is a skip for both of us, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
And skip. For me, yep.
Yeah. Okay. Ultimately, it is the lazy songwriting that kind of did it in. Let's go to track two. This is going to be track two. This is The Cutting Stone.
Ah. but to the lumen's eye.
We may not fall alone.
Living are never to earn the sky.
Left out their only home.
So make my bed where the bodies lie.
Burning up the earth and bone.
We only lived for to better die. Cause we're bound for the cutting stone.
Cutting Stone, very cool instrumental track. I played like the last 30 seconds, which is where kind of all of the lyrics fall. I love this one. This one is the one that gives me the strongest like vibes when it is played on the show, the instrumental part especially. Arnie, let me ask you this. So you said you wrote this one early on, right? It was one of your first three. What is the Cutting Stone? Because I've listened to every episode of Campaign and I was on it for like, got to be like 40 episodes, something like that. Still not super clear what it is. And it was instrumental to my character.
You were on for 20. You were on for 26 episodes.
God, it felt like 40.
Short answer, the Cutting Stone is death or the next level. Long answer, I don't know and I made it up. Basically, this is another one that's, like I said, on these tunes, I started just declaring things. And in this verse, I just made the call with autonomous, you know, no consultation whatsoever, that not only that Lumen's Eye was a phrase I just made up to mean like heaven or like, I don't, not really heaven, but like glory.
So you made up that phrase?
I did make up that phrase for this song.
That's really cool.
And now it's
James says it a lot. Used.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I know it's kind of taken on a life of its own. And then Cutting Stone for me meant like death or fate or like basically like in my head it was like the string from her, you know, the fates in Hercules, like the string stretched out, and the Cutting Stone is the stone you lay it on and then smack it with the, you know, whatever, and get rid and end the storyline. So the Cutting Stone is oblivion or death, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's very cool. I love that. Yeah. And also, I mean, James says this pretty openly, and we did it even when I was on the show as well, that the storytelling on Campaign is very collaborative. So it's cool that like Arnie just like, hey, Lumen's Eye, Cutting Stone, these are all part of it. And then James is like, okay, yes, they're part of it. And they're a big part of it, too. He's very good about honoring stuff like that.
Yeah, that's something I talked to him about too, where I was super grateful that it would have been very easy for a creator to be like, okay, what the fuck are you doing? You know, like, you can't just say this stuff and be like, it's not your show. I hired you on my show. And I just made these declarations, and I distinctly remember being like, I could ask permission, but I'm literally going to send it off. And if, you know, if he's mad, I'll say like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was part of my job. Because I didn't know James that well when I took the gig on, you know, and now I will do whatever. Now I just make declarations all the time. But at the time, it was like a pretty, honestly, it felt pretty punk rock. I was like, I'm going to say this stuff. And like, I don't know, you know, he might get pretty mad.
Yeah.
Boss doesn't like me. Oh, yeah. Can use that to fuel my art.
I did think it was interesting later on, one of the songs that you wrote later, you just say, Dref is here, he's guns for hands. And then we just had to...
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's alive again and his hands are guns.
Yeah, that's really tough, you know. It's tough for JPC to have to come back and play this character.
Oh, man. I would come back in a minute if James was like, okay, you got guns for hands.
Well,
you got to come back.
You got to come back. Your character has guns for hands. Southern accent.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, well, that's the Cutting Stone. Again, it's somber. It's cool. It's got, you know, it's...
It speaks of war. That's what it's about.
It definitely... To me, it's the song that plays when you see, like, the ship of, like, evil undead. You know, it pans over, like, the ship of evil undead, and there's just, like, a... Yeah. That's what I imagine.
It's ominous too. It's just like it's so ominous. It's like either something terrible has happened or something terrible is about to happen. Which is very cool.
It's I was just gonna say it's probably my second favorite track on the album. Which is not saying much because it is still a skip.
Yeah, of course. And it's rough to have two skips in a row. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard for an album to start with two skips.
Stuff.
difficult to come back from.
I disagree, because for me, basically, the album hasn't even started yet because I've already skipped two tracks. So, it's a perspective thing. Let's talk about track three. This is Harmony. This is all, by the way, this is all Arnie and one ghost.
I killed one man so that I could make this track.
You gotta crack a few eggs, you know?
There he is.
Yeah, that's the man you killed. So that's Harmony. Yeah. I guess, obviously, first question right off the bat, what's Moana like in real life, Arnie? Like, is she nice?
You know, she's fickle.
I guess more importantly, is Moana Skyjack's canon? Does Moana exist?
I mean, yes.
We never see the water, so I assume it's just a sweet girl down there and a dead grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, and Lin-Manuel Miranda and I have kind of a thing where we're both writing music in each other's universes.
Sure, sure.
So I've contributed several tracks to Hamilton. I haven't seen it yet. I'm hoping they made it in. But they're mostly about Dref cannon hands.
Yeah, I guess there's one guy who has cannons for hands in Hamilton.
For cannons, yes. Yep. Good for you for evoking the ocean, because I think that was one of the points of this song, mm-hmm. was evoking the water. It's also not... Sorry, Johnny, please go ahead and I'll...
Oh, go ahead.
All right. It's also like... So this is one of two instrumental tracks that are on the core album. But you'll notice in both of these, I don't like songs that are only instruments. I use my voice heavily because I like that. I think that the human voice is wonderful, and I think that it doesn't have words, but it is technically like, there's still, you hear the humanity to it. You know, there's the voices. It's also in the show represents magic, which is kind of an interesting thing, because all the rest of the music is supposed to sort of, it doesn't represent magic per se. It's all about like, you know, the traipsing around the world and doing your shit. But like, this one is supposed to distinctly be otherworldly, which is why I think it sounds completely out of genre.
Well, I think it is a very fun, I think both of the instrumentals are fun, like musical interludes. And this song reminds me of two things, which I think is very telling of me. First of all, it reminds me of the bonus track at the end of the System of a Down album, Toxicity, which is...
I was going to say that too.
Yeah. And which is just like an instrumental with a lot of like vocalizations that are not words. Yeah. But having the interludes reminds me a lot of the soundtrack to Yellow Submarine, or the soundtrack to, I think the soundtrack to like, Help did the same thing, where it's like the songs mm-hmm. with the lyrics and then like the instrumental stuff from the movie. And I think that the way James often like narrates the podcast, he describes it very cinematically, and I feel like mm-hmm. the way Casey uses the music is very cinematic, so it felt very natural where this is like a soundtrack album, even though it's a soundtrack to like a podcast and not something visual. It felt very like correct and really cool to have these like instrumental tracks.
Cool.
I don't want to be the guy that's like, you have this album that you put out, what else? But the whole time I'm listening to this, especially like tracks like Harmony or even tracks like Cutting Stone, where it's like mostly instrumental, lyric light, but they're very like thematic, and it kind of, you know, when you listen to all this thing together, you get these strong tie-in vibes of the themes that, you know, that are present throughout. It made me really want to be like, damn, you know what? Like, I feel like I really want to see a full stage Skyjacks musical. Like, I feel like I want to see that so bad. So I hope that the next Kickstarter is like, 10 times as much money and is for the full stage production of the Skyjacks musical. Because so many of these songs, I was like, not only is like a harmony, like harmony to me feels like it's the lead in to this, the next like chapter mm-hmm. of whatever this thing is going to be. But I know, you know, Johnny was speaking about how it sounds so cinematic and it's used so cinematically in the show. I was getting like, I mean, maybe it's not a full stage musical. Maybe it's like an animated thing or whatever. But I'm like, I'm sitting down on my couch, ready to take it in, because that was that was the mind space that I was in listening to this.
Great, I love that. I mean, I would absolutely do that for, you know, as much money as I could get. but yeah, I think that's good, because the thing that you can't do on a podcast is that you can't do that cinematic aspect, right? So it has to come through in both James's narration, in Casey's editing, and in my music. And so I think that was important to me, to have this feel of like, yeah, motion or place or like transition or whatever. You know, it did serve very similar function.
Cool. And that being said, of course, it is a skip.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. There are no words. What's the point?
Yeah.
It's not about anything.
You can pretty
it's
much...
Hard to,
yeah, if moans are words, then I guess that I'm communicative with my spouse.
And it's a shame, because I was really excited, because this one was one of the shorter tracks on the album at a minute 49. So I was like ready, and it was just like it was a minute 49, too long.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it never gets to the point. Yeah, it's a lot of mming and eyeing. Ugh. Right. Disgusting.
Let's talk about track 4. This is Lighthouse.
Another frozen morning, and the warmth of dawn appears. We pass upon the low road, as we have for many years. Two who know each cobble of the single path they tread. You to brave the early waves, and me to fitful bed. Me, I run the lighthouse, you're the daughter of a fisherman. We keep our eyes fixed on the water and our heels on solid land. I'm never much for talking, and it seems you're just the same. We share the shore, maybe someday more, be it glance or house or name. Me, I run the lighthouse, you're the daughter of a fisherman. We keep our eyes fixed on the water and our heels on solid land. I'm never much for talking, and it seems you're just the same. We share the shore, maybe someday more, be it glance or house or name.
Yeah, that's Lighthouse. So my thoughts on Lighthouse is that it's beautiful, it's hopeful, it's a story song, so it's telling, you know, the story of the lighthouse keeper and the person that they love. I think I can say this definitively. It is the horniest song on the entire album. Now, it's
the standard album.
Yes, for sure. These 9 tracks that we're reviewing, it's the horniest song. Now, not an overly horny album, so being horniest doesn't really clock in at like a super horny song. But I would say it's a pretty horny song.
I wish there was a word. You know how we have like sensual and sexual. I wish mm-hmm. that there was a sensual. Horny is to sexual as what is to sensual. I wish we had that word.
Yeah, so
there probably is one.
We're seeing like a quadrant, right? And we've got sensual, sexual, and the
Punnett square.
Yeah, Punnett square. Thank you.
Yeah, horny.
We need that. We
horny
need that
is a recessive
word.
Trait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I got the dominant. Freaking comes out.
Well, honestly, yes. From listening to the song, I would say that your dominant trait is horny.
yeah, it comes through. You know, I wrote this. This will help you a lot. So I wrote this song, in a cabin in the woods in Pennsylvania, far away from anyone.
Sure.
And I wrote it not completely alone, but basically by myself. So yeah,
this song was so
The lighthouse is my penis, sort of.
Sure, of course. It's all of our penis to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's sort of. It's a big giant symbolistic penis. Yeah.
So this song is about this horny man who lives in a lighthouse who sees a fisherman's daughter and realizes he's lonely, but he doesn't want to talk. And then it looks like, and then eventually, you know, they get together. You talk about the Lumen's Eye again in there as well.
Yeah, we got it.
We get it. Yeah, you know what it is. And then they end up together, and they spend their time together, and it's fun and sweet at the end.
Well, do you think I don't think they end up together?
Yeah, I don't think they do either. And I don't know too much, but it is.
How about that's you, your song. How about you listen to the fucking song before you start reviewing it, JPC?
We pass upon the low road as we have for many years. Now, me reading that for a second time is they are passing each other. The other, the read that I had originally was like, we pass along as in like, we walk along.
Oh,
like,
that's,
you and I, we pass sure. along.
That's so really I guess interesting.
I wanted to, I saw it, I saw it as a, yeah, I don't know. What, for whatever reason, I read that as a massive time cut from I Run the Lighthouse, You're the Daughter of a Fisherman, you know, blah, blah, blah. 30 years later, you and me, babe, we did it. That's the yeah. way I read it. It's wrong. It's wrong. And I'll own up to that. But I
yeah,
like to,
we pass
like
and we
hope.
Die. We yeah. passes and we die on the low road together. that's how, yeah. no, yeah, in my brain, yeah, they're not together at the end of this song. And Lord knows if he'll ever ask, but you know, if he did, I think, you know, who knows.
This song, the first time I heard it, because I had heard like instrumental portions on the show, but the first time I actually listened to it, gosh, it's such a like a truly touching, like really sweet song. And also really sad. I think a lot of these songs, which is something that I really like in media in general, but especially in music, is when there's just like this melancholy sort of yeah. maybe right below the surface. This song reminded me of so it reminded me of two songs, which this is just something that I do on this show, Arnie. Everything reminds me of other songs that I've already heard, mm-hmm. but it reminds me of the song Bus Stop by the Hollies. And nice. I don't know if either of you have heard that song, but it's,
I do. And actually I have a thing I'm going to talk about after.
Oh,
you
cool.
This.
And it also, yeah. So I will put a pin in that. And also reminded me of Eleanor Rigby, how at the end, like sort of these lonely people like cross paths, but they never actually interact. You know, it's like it's a song about lonely people. And when they finally do like interact with each other, one of them is dead. And I don't know. It just, yeah. it's just like, I don't know. It's just so sad and so sweet that like both of these people are probably thinking the same thing, but just don't ever vocalize it.
Yeah. I think that I also really value, as you said, melancholy. I like to think of it as wistfulness, mm-hmm. right? This is sort of what I try to think of it as is like, because this song, so it's kind of funny, like, and I don't think it is as happy as JPC's version where they die 30 years down the road together, holding hands. But I also don't necessarily think it's like quite as sad as yours. Cause I think that's something I'm not right. This is just like,
I only wrote the fucking thing
about how I only wrote it. I mean, whatever, you know, who knows, but I was thinking about this. I'm like, the thing that I hold on to is I don't think he's an unhappy man. Right. I think that the key part of this is, you know, he is content with his life and he has a job, like a steady job, a place to live. And I think he feels comfortable being alone. And he sort of thinks about like what it would be like to invite this person in. And he would like that very much. And it certainly would improve it. But I don't think he's like in a place where like that is his sole desire. You know, I think that he would like that a lot, but I think that he's also sort of got this like, well, if it doesn't happen, I got a lot going for me. Like that's kind of how I think of him, or who I don't specify the pronouns really. I guess I do because I say king and queen, but yeah.
Yeah, I get that vibe too from the chorus because it's like me, I run the lighthouse. Like the way that we identify this person is, this is the lighthouse keeper. That's their thing. They identify with that thing. It's not like me, I'm some romantic. Me, I'm, you know, it's, yeah, I kind of get that wistfulness mm-hmm. too. And I think folk yeah. is also like the perfect genre of music to be like wistful or like sad with maybe a little bit of an upbeat vibe to it. Like it lends itself very well to, you know, to this, I feel like, art form.
Yeah. And just to briefly jump back to the Hollies, so I love that song. I love that song, and it's fresh in my mind because if you remember Skyjacks, we'll go back in time to the original track, Skyjacks. The bridge is Sim and I have wandered mostly silent now for weeks, and when we talk, it is of Eris and the love they failed to speak. And when I wrote Whoa. That, immediately afterward, I'm like, why do I like this? And then I thought about, every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. It's like the same melody, except mine's in a different meter. And so I was like, oh my God, am I like seriously, am I stealing a ton of stuff from the Hollies? So it's like so funny that you would bring it up in relation to a completely different
That's
song.
So
and
interesting.
Like in a completely different area too. Because I was thinking melodically and you were thinking probably musically about how he's like standing next to, you know, they're barely missing each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, maybe there is like sort of a, I mean, and I love the Beatles. So like there's definitely like,
and
Beatles are a huge inspiration on the way I write for sure.
Lyrically too, he's in Bus Stop, he says, one of the lines is like, someday my name and hers are going to be the same. And I
you're right. Yeah, I did. Oof.
I mean,
now I definitely directly ripped it off. And
no, they're all probably fucking dead. Who gives a shit?
but yeah, it makes it a skip for me.
This
is
my
stole a Holly song.
This is my second favorite on the album, but now knowing that it's it's been stolen, it leaves an ashen taste in my mouth, and it is now a skip.
It's tough.
Yeah, I mean that's a. It's an obvious skip for me. I mean, what? Who the fuck even uses a lighthouse anymore? I don't even know what those are.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but let's talk about track 5, Dark Magic. So if you run a D&D game, Pathfinder, what have you, this has got to be mandatory on your playlist. You need this song on your playlist because there are going to be too many situations in your D&D game where this is going to be useful. If you are making the next Final Fantasy game and a you know, a dark wizard is coming to a brand new you know, metropolis and they're going to destroy it with a you know, a dark cloud of magic, you're going to need this track. You're going to want to purchase this track from Arnie Parrott. I love Dark Magic. I think Dark Magic is fantastic.
This is a good song. This is I love a good spooky anything. And this is just like, this is injecting spookiness like straight into your fucking veins.
Mm-hmm.
My only complaint is that, again, it's a super short song, which I love. No words. So what's the point?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ultimately, what is it? Yeah, it's not about anything. It makes you feel a thing, but then it doesn't like give you anything with that thing.
Right.
So that's pretty rude of it. it's gaslighting you the whole time, basically. So I was talking about this, and I like to think about this song as like, to me, this whole song happens in slow motion. Like no matter what thing I'm picturing, it's like slow mo of like someone like standing up out of the water, you know, the most horrifying thing you've ever seen, like reaching its hand out, you know, whatever it is, it's the whole song is in slow motion. And I think of it as this wall of like impending doom that's just slowly pushing toward you, and you can't stop it, and it's just coming, and you're just staring at it like, I don't know what the fuck we're gonna do. It's the wall of fire, it's a bunch of dragons, it's whatever it is, it's off in the distance, it's coming, and you have, as soon as you hear this song, you realize you are well and truly fucked. And that's like what I think I enjoy that feeling about it too.
Yeah, it gives you like that, just like that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach almost when you listen to it.
Yeah. Another fun sort of Easter eggy thing, I talked about this with James, but I'm going to repeat myself a few times for those of you who don't listen to both Bill Buds and James's stuff. Musically, so once again, if we zap back to Skyjacks, there's and the chorus, it goes, sing with our crew, hear the Star Watcher call as we swing between skyships with miles to fall. And in the background, there's a ueo, ueo that happens behind that. And those same mueos are in this track, slowed way down and pitched down to make it this sort of, because it's like, and the melody sort of feels the same way as the Skyjacks melody. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum, bum. It's not exactly identical, but like they are
similar in feel,
each other. Similar in feel. And so the point was like, I wanted to take the joy of the opening track and like pervert it and twist it and turn it sideways and be like, this is like the Catholic imperial, you know, like the giant stone building looming over the, like, the you know, the denizens of a perfectly happy village. You know, it's that's what it's supposed to be. Anti-imperial and very, like, very twisted and perverted.
Kind of like how all of the tracks from Super Mario World have the same melody, just different arrangements.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. You move. It's called leitmotif. It's a musical term for where you take sort of similar, if things show up in multiple places, but you change them a little bit and move them around to give a different feel. And there's another example of this later on. But yeah, it's a technique you use to give cohesion to tracks, but also like to take the ideas and sort of give them a new emotional thing.
Johnny, no, I know Arnie just explained that. I have to say this, do not retain that. We can't learn information that will help us later in the show about how this stuff works. So erase that from your mind.
Your podcast depends on you two not knowing anything about music.
I don't want to hear you accidentally say fucking leitmotif two episodes from now. I will be so pissed if you do. I'll be so pissed.
Something of a leitmotif.
We can't.
You're going to be real mad at my notes for the next song then.
Speaking of the next song, let's talk about this next song. Let's talk about track six, Way Hey Ho. Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road.
Man, I'm being, this really is a fucking roast.
Well, you starting and stopping it was also part of the bit, which is what happens on the album version.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it's true. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, fuck.
No, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Sort of a fun little character. Like I said, I put character in, and this is a character who doesn't know how to use a phone as an MP3 player.
And his name is Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yeah.
I'm doing all this from fucking Google Drive. This sucks.
You could download it.
I could download it, but I'm not going to download it unless I pay. I did donate to the Kickstarter, so I should be able to get this. It doesn't matter.
Why would I download 9 songs that I'm just going to skip?
Yeah. Track 6, Way Hey Ho. Way Hey Ho.
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings, singing way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring, singing way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain, singing way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name, singing way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive, be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need, and to never be thankful for what you've received, singing way, hey, ho.
This one gives me, like, it's like, you know, campfire sing-along, like, not in a lame way, but like someone's got the guitar around the campfire and in way, hey, ho. But it's also, you know, it's probably more apt to be like skyjacks working on a ship or on a break or whatever. But I love this one a lot. I think that this one is such a cool, like, sing-along song.
This song also has one of, if not my favorite lyric from the whole album. And right at the end, and it's better to age than never to grow. I think that is,
oh, that's cool.
It's such a cool, I don't know, because it's, you know, when you sort of just, I don't know what the word for this thing is, but where it's like, oh, these two words are synonyms, but then when you kind of say them in this way, they both mean very different things.
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny, the word you're looking for is context.
I thought it was leitmotif.
Yeah. And yes, a very interesting leitmotif. That line. So,
which Holly's song is that from?
Yeah, let's Google that.
Great
right
question.
Now.
So this brings me great pains because, unfortunately, she does listen to this podcast. My sister loves this show. She's going to hear this episode, and I'm going to have to say something nice about her now that she's going to hear and text me about.
Oh man.
So I was struggling with that last verse a great deal. That was the concept I wrote down. I wrote down the idea of aging versus growing, and I couldn't figure out how to fit it into this last verse. My sister came home from a long day of work. She works in the mines. She's very young. She's a child. She comes home, and she, coughing and wheezing, says, she comes in and I'm like saying these words and I'm asking her about it because she is a very good storyteller and a very good writer. And she says, she like pops out from her door and she puts her finger up and goes, "It's better to age than never to grow." And I like go, "Fuck!" And I like write that down. It like fits perfectly with everything I wanted. And then she suddenly took a great interest in this song, which was my favorite part. Her going like, "Ooh, play it again. I want to hear it." like now she wants to hear like the lyrics she wrote being used. And she loved how it sounded and really enjoyed it. And I'm forever grateful to it because I would have puzzled for hours trying to figure out, to come up with basically, you know, and maybe I wouldn't have even come up with it, but she came up with it instantly and took the concept that I wanted to convey in an incredibly succinct way. That is her lyric.
I'm happy to learn that the one lyric that I liked from this album was not written by you.
Yes, I'd and also that is, like, crushes to me to. Yeah,
I'd also like to shout out my little brother. He lent me his Disney Plus login. I watched season one of The Mandalorian on it. So shout out. Siblings are really helping everybody a lot.
Yeah, my sister, whenever I'm home, she cuts my hair. It's great. She does a great job. If anyone's ever in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, go get your hair cut by my sister.
Okay. This is great. You guys oftentimes plug your sibling plug.
Well, if you do it, then the rest of us have to do it. So this one was also a skip because, again, you stole a line from your sister. And by stole, I mean collaborated. And I think collaborating with a member of your family is the ultimate betrayal. So this one is going to be a skip for me. Can we talk about track 7, Toast the Axle?
I guess we have to.
We can, yeah.
Yeah, I guess we have to, right? Because it's the next one.
Okay, now I'll sing it. I just need a note. Just give me the note and I'll sing it. Okay, see, that wasn't so hard, was it? 2, 3. Guzzled on the stew and the beer and the wine, for we're stuck with each other through the worst of times. Turn our bones to stone and our blood to brine, for it's time to toast the axle. Here we go! My great-grandfather fought in the war with a man who saved his life 8 times or each year. They'd split 2 bottles or more, and they both lived to be 90. Guzzled down the stew and the beer and the wine, for we're stuck with each other through the worst of times. Turn our bones to stone and our blood to brine, for it's time to toast the axle.
This song is such a ton of fun. It's like, you know, I want to do some square dancing. I want to mosey down and swing my partner around and around. It's a hoot. And I love the character of this one. Like, the character who's singing this one seems so distinct and so unique that it's just like it's a blast.
Yeah, I like this is pretty easily my favorite one on the album, and I like that you have an affectation in your voice which you don't really have in any of the other ones. Like this is
the specific character for sure. Yeah.
It's just a ton of fun.
I do have one specific question. So the line, "Casey Tony stole all my wealth, so I gifted him a thistle wine to drink to my health. That bottle sat on, sat 1 whole year on his shelf, and he was dead the next morning." And my question is that true? Did that happen?
Yeah. So thank God. Casey Tony, what he did was he stole all of my wealth.
Wow, $46.
$46. And he took it. And I somehow got a wine. Uh-huh. I got a wine and I gave it to him and now he's dead. And now I don't know who's editing Neo Scum or any of the other shows, but I can tell you it's not Casey, and it's honestly, it should be bigger news.
Yeah, the quality drop-off is immense.
Yeah, it's just huge, yeah. So that like I said, that was one of those where Casey was online and I just picked on him and was like, "I'm going to immortalize you as a dead person now." I thought I was going to get a series of angry tweets from Skyjacks fans, but
no, everybody hates him.
Yeah.
people seem pretty happy.
Well, the thing about him dying is that it's not really about him. People love him, but they're jealous of him because he's so good at what he does. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it's infuriating.
Yeah. Taking off. It's like knocking Tom Cruise out of the acting game, right? Like we're taking the heavy hitter out and now the rest of us can get roles.
Yeah.
When I think about maybe the best actors of my generation.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is the guy I would be like, let's get rid of him.
Tom Cruise,
let's
The Rock.
Let's let someone...
Everyone...
Let's let Vin Diesel shine for once.
Everyone always calls Casey Tony the Tom Cruise of the Chicago podcast scene.
Honestly, Casey's a fucking great editor, but now that he's dead, I edit Bill Buds myself, and it's so much worse.
Noticeably downticked. So the other reason, so this is a fun one because the other reason for this character was because, and so the reason I had that thing at the top was that I wanted to make sure I kept that affectation. Here we go. one of my better ones.
Damn it.
So I wanted to, I kept this at the top because I had a hard time like getting into the voice and staying in the voice.
Oh, that's.
So I kept that like, well, you know, like a little acting trick. And I just kept it in.
Yeah, that's wise.
I was in a play in high school where I had to do that sort of thing to get into character.
Yeah. I have a degree in theater, but it has done nothing for my voice.
You just got to find that like phrase to.
And for me, it was, give me the note and I'll sing it or whatever.
For that play that I was in, which I don't remember what the play was, but I remember I kept saying, blow me. And that was how I, that was how I.
What? High school play? Oh, so that was your line.
I didn't say blow me in the play.
What was the
Joseph
accent?
And the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. What accent were you going
for
then?
Not an accent. It was just like the characterization. I was like a.
Got it.
Blow me.
It was. Oh, it was...
Scent of a Woman.
It was Scent of a Woman.
Blow me! for me, the one that I used to get into Australian, which I won't be able to stay in Australian, so it doesn't work, is Liza Blade.
Liza... Laser Blade?
It's Laser Blade. Liza Blade.
Liza Blade. Liza Blade. I just say, when I want to get into Australian, I just pick up something big, and then I just say, you call later, and then I say whatever the thing is. This is a... Yeah. You know, whatever.
I just say, blank... Australian for beer.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, despite it being your favorite, it has to be a skip, I assume.
Yeah.
No,
I
this
mean,
is the because
I. Oh, I have. I actually have a question about this song. Is this the only song on the album that was like specifically influenced by something on the show? Because this like specifically references like a place and an event in the show.
Yes. So the specificity of it, it is the only song specifically about like it is the only song with that specific of a sense of place. But the next track is also inspired by a specific event on the show. And there are So like it's the only one that is really truly like. About like a specific holiday that was made up and all that stuff but it is the only one that really sits firmly in that time and place in that is clearly it's to a specific area of sphere.
Does that make it harder or easier for you when you're writing to have like more direction, I guess?
So in this case, I think it made it easier because James gave me the idea like. All I do is describe his ideas, right? Like I just do like James told me that there's a festival where you give the people who have wronged you bad wine. And if they drink it, you have to forgive them. If you give them good wine and they drink it, you celebrate as friends. And I was like, okay, see that's, and if you don't drink the bad wine, something bad happens to you. In this case, Casey Tony dies. He shoots himself in grief. Yeah, I just wanted to, like, I just took his rules. Like I didn't have to come up with that, right? So the job was, I don't want to say it was easier, but it was much more straightforward than say writing Way Hey Ho, which took me a long, long time to try to figure out how to do an epic theme that wasn't Skyjacks. Mm. You know, like it had to be about all this, you know, it had to be about these ideas and like the places and I wanted it to be big and grand, but I didn't want it to feel like the same as the opening theme to the show.
Got it.
That was like very hard because it was super conceptual and like that song took me the longest to write on the whole album because it just was took forever to get the idea. Whereas this one, I had the idea from moment one and all I had to do was sort of take the pieces of music that, you know, and like all the parts and smash them together to make this song. So this one was pretty easy to write and it was very fast and it was a lot of fun. I mean, like you said, the song is just fun and I was having a blast sitting there and clapping and singing.
This song also feels like the kind of thing where like in universe, each person could like write their own verse about their own
hundreds
personal
of verses
experience.
To
the
song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Johnny, did you say that this was a skip?
I don't know if I said it, but it certainly is.
So for me, this was the only track on the album that was not a skip. I know I'm spoiling the rest of them a little bit, but then it was only not a skip because I thought somebody else was singing it. When Arnie explained to me that was him doing the old man voice, that became a skip for me. So I didn't care for it. Can we talk about track 8? This is track 8, Ring the Bell.
Okay. Okay, and
so I really like this. This was the one on the album, Arnie, that I was like, this is so familiar to me. And it's like funky. It's kind of like got like a disco vibe to it. And your voice sounds better here than it has ever sounded. If that makes sense.
That's not my track.
That's not what Spotify said.
Yeah, Spotify said that this was
The album's not on Spotify.
Okay, well then what? I played that from Spotify. So
okay, but the song this song's not on the album. But I don't want you like.
Unfortunately, Arnie, we are running out of time for this. We don't have time for your full explanation. Let's just go to track 8. This is Ring the Bell.
I must go.
Just as fun.
It's kind of a different vibe. I think this is maybe his B-side.
Again someday. But until then, I pray live well. Strike up the
So this version of Ring the Bell, and then I cut it off right before we got into your like two-part harmony that you do in this. This was my favorite. This was my absolute favorite of the album. I love this song. I think it's fucking excellent. It's, you know, it's like lyric light, right? Like it's pretty straightforward. I'm trying not to.
Yeah, it's like eight lines.
Eight lines. Yeah, I'm trying not to be dismissive about it because I think the lyrics are fucking excellent. But I love the harmony in it. I love the way that it sounds. It's like it sounds deep. It sounds epic. It's not wistful. It's ring the bell. It's like mournful, right? Like, you know, there's not many occasions to ring a bell that's like happy, because you got to go to church. But yeah, I love this one. I absolutely love this one.
To me, this one reminds me of like a prayer almost, or like specifically in like a Catholic mass. I know there are portions where they'll parts will have sort of like a sing-songy like lyric feel. And that's kind of what this reminded me of. And even the way, like looking at the lyrics, the way they're written, it feels more like a prayer or a poem, even though I guess is music poetry. That's not what this show's about. But
no, we will never answer questions like that on this show.
But yeah, I agree. This is fantastic. This is a great one.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, I like this track a lot too. JBZ, you're the first person I've ever heard who say this is their favorite one, and that's very cool. I like that it appeals. I like that you like it.
I think that this is very much my speed too. Like, I know that this is about myself. Like, Johnny and I've been doing this long enough too that like Johnny doesn't like the ballads, but when you have like a slower song in there, and I think ominous is a really cool vibe for me in music. So this just aligns a lot with what I think is good.
This album,
we'll see. And so. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this album is also fun because most of the stuff that we do on this show, there aren't really like ominous songs. So it's fun to get these different sort of emotions that we don't normally get in the music that we talk about.
Yeah, not a lot of pop ballads that come through with a sense of impending dread and doom.
Yeah, this whole episode is way more appropriate for our Patreon, where we do pop adjacent things, but everyone can listen to it.
And so for those of you who don't know, this episode is inspired by JPC's character dying from the show. And I have to say the hardest part about writing it was how joyful I was when I heard the news that he wasn't going to be on the podcast anymore.
Yeah. That's tough. So,
second best death after Casey Tony.
So I was so happy for knowing that he wasn't going to be there anymore. And they told me to write this song that I kept making it happier and happier. And James was like, no, everyone's going to be sad about this. So if you listen carefully, like the lyrics, they're actually all very sarcastic. What you don't quite hear is that it's actually... What I'm saying is I'm going to be so sad when you're gone, you know, and all that stuff. And the thing is, the singer in character is just like, he's grinning from ear to ear.
Sure.
He's called up everyone who he's, and he's throwing a big party after he finishes this stupid mass for this guy who he hated, who's dead.
I think the other interesting thing about that is that James was absolutely wrong. History disproved him. Most people were kind of overjoyed that I was gone. Now, I will say that we only played a little bit of Ring the Bell. It kind of there's a dip in Ring the Bell, and then we get to the end where I come back with machine gun hands and a southern accent.
Yeah.
And I think that that part is where the track really picks up, and I think that's the kind of excited energy that you were feeding off of.
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. Good. I'm glad you noticed that.
Since we've been going so long, and this is probably the shortest album that we've ever done on the show, but it's our longest episode, I want to talk about this one. So this is Call of the Sky. This is track 9 of the album. Now, would you say that this is the most well-known song on the album?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is.
Going in, this was the only one that I had ever heard the lyrics to, because James forces me to sing them in front of people often.
Yeah, James also makes you do the Pledge of Allegiance and stuff like that. Now, let me ask you, Arnie, because it's from a purely from like a track list point of view and like a sequencing point of view, Call of the Sky is like the one that most people know. What's it doing at the end? Was that like a conscious choice? Like,
I ordered these tracks based on sort of the arc of, you know, like storytelling, right? Like this is the, I want to say, climax and denouement. Right. This is the track that everyone knows and that I think sort of sums up this track is to me. I don't want to say it's the best of the album, and because that's not really what it is, but it is the one that to me conveys all the ideas. The soul of this show and of this album is in this song.
Got it.
This is where this is the truest song to me in terms of like this is the heart center of what I try to write.
I don't think there's any more perfect intro than that, so let's go to it. Track 9, this is Call of the Sky.
Well, since none of you seem to know who I am, I suppose a little bit of an introduction would be fine. Let me bring in my sexy singing cat friends. Now, who am I?
He's Otto Van Fonvino.
That seems right.
The finest cat you've ever seen.
He's
got a jaunty cap of green.
Look at that.
He's Otto Van Fonvino.
Now, when you're hosting a particular party, be it a birthday or a
charitable. I loved it.
I got you, you motherfucker.
You fucking... Oh, my God. Oh. We're just going to do the first album. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so if... So I'm sorry if you're not familiar with the show, that is not Call of the Sky. That is a bonus track that is on the Captain's Edition of the album, which you should purchase, called Otto Von Van Veen, which is a joke song that Artie was forced to write about it's basically like another member of Cats, basically, who exists in the Skyjax universe.
All right, well, and now, okay, here we go.
I'm sorry, Arnie. I thought that was just you talking so sincerely about this song.
It's so funny. Just play the regular track.
This is Audubon Vivian, by the way. That's on your SoundCloud, right?
Yeah, and it's free to download.
It's free to download.
Every time I listen to that, it makes me mad how fucking funny it is.
That song is a different spice of Arnie Parrott in your life, but you should go listen to that song. It's very good. This is track 9, Call of the Sky. I should have played Audubon Beat again.
Tidings, my comrades, we've done it again. The dawn, she's breaking, our pints at their end. By morning's cruel light must our sails ascend, fly far from our families, lovers and friends. Our journey's forthcoming, we drank through the night, sharing tales of our glories, our heartbreaks and plights. With a room full of laughter and our souls full of light, let us raise one more toast ere our vessels take flight. Health to the strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny. The sky.
Arnie, I think that you should be incredibly proud of this song. This song fucking rules. This song is so good. This song transports me into another fucking world. It is truly, I mean, I think I can't be unbiased about this song because I've listened to all of Skyjacks. I was on the show for so long. They play a lot of the lyrics to this song. Like, they use the lyrics in entirety in the Skyjack mixes sometimes as well. It's so fucking good. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, and I think I never really put it together until you said it, but it is a very... it's almost like, even though it doesn't have necessarily all of the musical themes of the rest of the album, it is sort of like an overture of the album where it's like, this is everything. This is the whole feeling, the whole emotion of the whole album in one song, which I think is such a feat.
Well, yeah, it was the first one I wrote. I mean, it was the easiest one I wrote. I mean, it just came so easily in terms of just like, it was... everything happened in the right way. You know, I just had the chord changes, the lyrics, the melody. I mean, it all just like flew together. And it was like so easy just based on James's initial description of the world. And I wrote this when I had only listened to part of your session zero where Tyler was playing a different character. And episode 1, 2, and 3 uncut, like literally just like no editing, just the raw audio, you guys stopping and talking about stuff. So I'd listen to that, and like just based on that and like the tavern feel that you guys start with, I was like, I'm going to write this tune that I think is, you know, it's about what I mean, like health to the strangers who ever been kind. Like I said, I love talking to strangers, and like this is something that to me is brought value to my life. And I think that was just an important, like all the core messages of this song were the things that I thought about when I wrote the rest of the show. This idea of kindness and acceptance, but also this idea of striving for something greater, looking for something bigger, and knowing that every time you take a step towards something, you have to take it away from something else. Mm-hmm. You know, and so these complex big ideas that I tried to distill down into this idea, into this show, into this song about sitting at a bar with your friends and the sun coming up and being like, well, we got to pack this in. We'll never do this again. Regardless of situation, nothing will ever be exactly like it was. And that's kind of sad, but also great. You know, it's a lot. So I love this song. I really do.
Yeah. I think this also has, even though it's not, I won't say it's necessarily a sad song, but this also does have that melancholy, which I love. Mm-hmm. And I am a very nostalgic person in my real life. And I think hearing you describe this as, you know, when you take a step towards something, you have to take a step away from something. That like resonates so much with me because I can't help but think of that whenever I do literally anything in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's and like acknowledging it is important, but not letting it guide you, mm-hmm. you know, not letting it stop you is just as important. And it's so hard to do both, but you know, it's kind of how we have to function.
Oh, please.
No, I mean, that's it. I just am very grateful. This song, you know, it's everything came from it. I'm grateful to everything that inspired it. And I love how much people love it because, you know, like I said, Arnie Parrott, I don't feel like I did write this, but like, I feel like it's taken on something bigger than me and that's better. Too, you know, I have fans wrote verses for this. I get sent covers in different languages. Like this just feels like a tune that it's self-fulfilled, right? The whole thing is about spreading and sharing, and like that this song is doing that, and I love that.
That's very cool, especially the thing about, like, you know, people sending you versions of this song. That's got to feel great as a person who created this thing that specifically is supposed to exist in a world where like the lore gets passed and shared and mm-hmm. and everyone does their own version of it. Arnie, as I was listening to this album today, I was like, you know what fucking Arnie is? I mean, obviously, he's a modern day bard and he's coming up with these bardic tales of bardic inspiration. So naturally, my brain goes to D&D, and mm-hmm. I would like to do a little thing on the show with you right now, Arnie, where knowing that you are a modern-day bard, my natural question was, what level is Arnie? Like, what possible level could Arnie be? So I've come up with a quick quiz to kind of ascertain your level as a bard. So I'm going to rattle off a few things, and I just want to know if you are capable of these or you possess these things, and that's going to help me better determine what level bard you are in the world.
Okay. Yes. Excellent.
Are you proficient with any of the following? Light armor.
No.
Simple weapons.
Yes.
Hand crossbows.
No.
Long swords and or short swords.
Yes.
Three musical instruments.
Yes.
Any three skills.
Yes.
Okay, so right off the bat, you're a little worse off than a level one bard, but that's good because there's still a lot more, and I think that we can actually power you up. Are you able?
Yeah, substitution.
Are you able to provide bardic inspiration?
Yes.
How many times a day would you say?
Oh boy. Mm. I say I max out at probably like, boy, 15, 20.
Okay. 15 or 20? That's huge for a bard. Do you think
yeah.
Do you think that you could do it a little more than 15 or 20 if you took a short rest in between?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was implying short rest. I would say five at a time with short rest.
Okay. Okay. Great. Well, you gotta do one short rest a day. Would you consider yourself a jack of all trades?
Yes.
Do you have an expertise?
Yes.
Would you consider yourself to be a font of inspiration? That's more of your sister Claire, honestly.
Yeah. Well. Okay. I was gonna say yes, but I didn't know. I don't know.
I'll give you a no on that one. Can you use your magic? I'm sorry. Can you use your music to make people immune to fear?
Ooh, immune? I can alleviate the effects. I don't think I can make them immune.
That's good
enough. I can make them forget about it for a few minutes.
That's good enough. Have you ever plundered any magical secrets? If so, which ones?
Yeah, I've stolen lots of music from lots of bands who are better than me.
Okay. Are you able to cast any of the following spells? And for this one, it's just a simple yes or no will suffice. Mage Hand.
Yeah. Yes.
Prestidigitation.
Yes.
Vicious Mockery.
No.
Animal Friendship.
No.
Charm Person.
Yes.
Cure Wounds.
Nope.
Disguise Self.
Yes.
Silent Image.
No.
Calm Emotions.
Yes.
Heat Metal.
No.
Knock.
No.
You can't do Knock?
Well, I can, but it hurts my poor hands.
Okay. Silence.
Yes.
Locate Object.
No.
Speak with Plants.
No.
Tongues.
Definitely. Yes.
Confusion.
And I'm winking. I'm winking at
the
camera.
I get that one.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure.
Confusion.
Confusion? Yes, yes, yes.
Hallucinatory Terrain.
No.
That's hallucinatory, my bad.
I was going to correct you, but I didn't want to.
Awaken.
Yes.
Okay, watch those short rests. Dominate Person.
No.
Mislead.
Yes.
Modify Memory.
No.
Eye Bite. That's EYE. Yes. Okay, everyone should
okay,
be
all right.
That. Irresistible Dance.
No, Autos, no, I can't.
No, okay. Resurrection?
Nope.
Teleport?
Nope.
Feeble Mind?
No.
Dominate
Uh-oh.
Monster?
No. Uh-oh, I think we're hitting my cap.
Power Word Kill?
No.
You can't do Power Word Kill?
I can't do Power Word Kill.
Power Word Stun?
Power Word Stun, yes. Okay, I'm morally against Power Word killing people, except
okay.
Casey Tony.
So I would say you are a relatively high-level bard. There's a lot of basic stuff that you can't do, which just points against mm-hmm. you. I think I'm going to put you solidly around, like, level four. No, I'm sorry. I want fourth level spell, so level eight. I'm going to give you, like,
oh, okay.
level seven, level eight. You're not quite level nine yet, but you are on your way. You are on your way. That's...
So, yeah, I'm real close to, like, the epic levels. Like, I'm getting to the point where I've beaten... like the country's quest.
Oh, yeah.
And now I need to move on to like, we're getting planar. I'm about to start jumping into Spelljammer and shit.
You are no longer at the level where a level one simple cat has a 33% chance of killing you.
Yes,
it's a challenge rating 0.35. That was a bit about D&D that was just for me. So thank you so much, Artie.
And for me.
And for Artie.
I loved it. I loved it.
For bearing with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we totally advise everyone to go out and get this album, but that doesn't mean that we have rated it. And Johnny, it is our most solemn duty as Bill Buds that we have to rate this album, and so we should do so now.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'll give you the floor to go first.
Yeah, you know, this one weighed on me mm-hmm. because it is 9 skips in a row.
Which is hard for an album.
That is hard. But I will say... I've got to give it points for consistency.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to write 9 songs that you want to skip right in a row. And it's brave to make those the only 9 songs on an album. So because of that, I'm going to say it's a bop for sheer bravery.
Johnny, would you be surprised to learn that the very first time that I have ever listened to these tracks was the small clips of them that we had played here today on the show.
Not even a little bit surprised.
Not even a little bit.
No.
Not even a little bit surprised. And I'll be honest, Arnie sent me this thing a few weeks ago. I said, instant skip. Instant skip for me. I deleted the email. It showed up 3 days later, and I was like, do you want to respond? I was like, fuck. I listened to all of the tracks, like I said, in 30-second clips here. I also did a couple joke tracks that I put in there for me. And I will have to say, judging by just my experience on the show making fun of Arnie, I think that this is a bop. I think that this album is a bop. So, two bops from the Bill Buds. Arnie, your Bill Buds certified fresh.
Woo!
Listen to this album, finally. Guys. Buy this album if you can. Listen to it if and steal it if you can't. But such a fucking good album and such a monumental task to accomplish. I'm in absolute awe.
Well, and there's a special edition that we did not review that has how many extra tracks? I mean, it's twice as long.
It's got a bunch. Yeah, it's twice as long, at least.
And our rule here on the Bill Buds is if there's as many bonus tracks as there are tracks, it's a separate album.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, but please, Arnie, can you tell everybody once again where they can go and to get this album?
This will be, or it is on... hold on, let me think about where to get it.
I can edit around all
one
this,
second.
So. It's okay, on MySpace.
What's it? Yeah, Bandcamp and itch.io. Okay, you can find the album on Bandcamp. You just have to search for Campaign Skyjacks, the album. Any of those keywords should do. Maybe not album or the album. I would go with Campaign Skyjacks. You can also find it on itch.io. You can find me on Twitter. I am at Arnie Parrott. And if you go there, I will have links to it. And that's the easiest way to do it. But you can also just listen to Campaign, and there will be, there's tons of ways to find this.
Yeah, just
album.
Listen to Campaign, skip all of the dialogue.
I would skip the dialogue. There's a lot of cool stuff that happens around the dialogue.
I think you can also maybe skip what do we say, Johnny? 25 episodes? Skip the first 25 episodes of Skyjacks?
26.
26, 26.
Yeah.
Well, no, 25. You're going to want to hear that 26th one. That one's good. That'll make you happy.
Well, there's this grand celebration that happens in the 26th episode.
I will also say that all of the links that Arnie just mentioned will be in the episode description for this podcast. So you can go there and click them and go right to the place where you can get the music. Arnie, absolute fucking blast to have you on the show. An absolute pleasure. You know so much about music that we refuse to learn. We will definitely, Arnie has also already told me the album that he would like to review for the show. We'll definitely have you back a little later on in hopefully this year. And thanks so much for your time, man.
Yeah, it's been
you guys are the best. This is such a blast.
Thank you. And thank you for writing the album. It's truly been a leitmotif to have you here. And I can't wait to have you back.
Yep. Thank you, Bill Buds. To be Bill Buds approved is, I've waited so long.
Well,
I've waited so long for this day.
Not only that, Arnie, but we, Johnny and I, tip our hats to you and wish you a fond farewell.
Thank you. And I take your hats and I sort of put them onto my head and I walk away.
That's not,
is that the right?
No, you just play the fucking outro, man. Just do the outro.
I have to play the outro? Oh, okay.
Well, you're here. I mean,
let me see if I can find it.
I don't go to where you work and knock the fucking broom out of your hand.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, this is the stupid
just play thing. The goddamn outro.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. I have them all here. They're just, okay. It's on the bottom. Bill Buds is the last letter. Got it.
This is insufferable. Tonight we're hanging with the boys. Yeah, we're going
out. We're getting started. I'm dancing. We're going to make a lot of noise tonight. It feels good.
Hands up for them real ones, them good girls and them Bill Buds.